Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Rusty Quill presents.
Hey everyone, Alexi Talanda here, and welcome to our bonus content as we work on putting Ostium Season 6 together. We're continuing with our Behind the Ostium series as we go in-depth with the making and discussion of how each episode of Ostium came to be, as well as much more. I am joined by Dwayne Farver, a big fan of the show and creator of the spin-off podcast Manifestations. If you enjoy the Behind the Ostium series, you can get full access to over 50 episodes right now by supporting Team Ostium on Patreon at patreon.com/ostiumpodcast. You'll also get access to a bunch of other bonus content on there too. Once again, that's patreon.com/ostiumpodcast. We'll continue working on getting Ostium Season 6 ready for release in 2022, but for now, sit back and enjoy another episode of Behind the Ostium.
Okay, so you want to start talking about how you started with Manifestations and your world building with that?
Sure. I was even actually clicking around Patreon the other day, and I noticed the first message where we were talking about writing my own Ostium door story. Mm-hmm. And it took me back to... I was on a plane coming back from a work visit to Minneapolis, and I just pulled out my phone and started typing. And we have a town near where I live called Centralia, and there was a mine fire under it, and the state made the people living there move. There's a couple holdouts that actually do still live there, but for the most part, everybody's gone. So you can go there, and the streets are cracked and overgrown with grass and trees. Most of the places you can't even tell that there was even a town there. From the air, you still can. Like one of the sections of road had to be diverted, and they built a new road because it was just cracked. And at the height of the fire, there was constant smoke coming from out of these cracks in the road. Now it's called Graffiti Highway because kids go there and tag it with their graffiti. But the Centralia just struck me as, you know, a relation to Ostium. It's an empty town. This town was abandoned, but still more or less an empty town. So
have you visited before? Have you had a chance to go visit?
Sure, yeah, it's only about 20 minutes from where I live. When we
And you
visit,
are allowed to and everything? You're not barred from going inside?
they have the only area they don't allow you to go is Graffiti Highway. So if you're there, technically, I think you could be asked to leave or possibly fined. But I've seen buses of tourists show up and walk down Graffiti Highway. There's two graveyards that are still there. They haven't
Wow.
moved. They haven't moved any of the residents of the graves, and there's still a church that is nearby. I believe they're actually trying to find new people to run the church. It's currently not being used.
Wow. So was this something you kind of learned about as a kid and it kind of developed into an ominous place?
I don't know. Yeah, it is kind of ominous in a way. Yeah, just growing up, you heard about it. I mean, I remember seeing it on the news when I was young. The when it was still had a couple houses and people were still leaving. But it was before I was born when most of the controversy was going on. It was a big the residents didn't want to move. They thought the state was like doing a land
Overdoing,
grab
yeah.
so that they could get the mineral rights under the town. And I'm like, the whatever minerals are under the town are on fire. They're no good to anyone. So yeah, the thought of when I was growing up, the thought of Centralia was, it's just a place you drive through to get to somewhere else. 'Cause there was really, actually, I think there's still an abandoned post office as well. There's nowhere to stop and do anything other than, like I said, people would just tour it. It was a tourist spot now. There are people that take ATVs, since it is old mining land, there's trails that people take ATVs on. So yeah, it was the if I was going to go through an ostium door, I'm like, well, that made a lot of sense to me. To see the day of. There's actually some controversy as to how the fire started. So I, for my story, I picked one of the theories that most people seem to go with. But as I was writing my story, as I was starting on the plane, I was like, I don't want to plagiarize the mechanics of Ostium. Even though this was an Ostium door story, I felt wrong doing that. So my character just found himself in a null void, all black space, and then is transported to Centralia. He doesn't realize it at first, but he notices some road signs. And for the sake of my Ostium door story, I was writing first person. It was me. I was in the story. The character was me. So the person in the story sees the road signs, and it's a very common intersection. If you mentioned the roads to anybody near where I live, most of them would probably know, oh yeah, that's Centralia.
Now, did you choose put yourself kind of in the story as a first person to kind of help you write the story?
Yes, that was a big way for me to find out what the character would do next. How would the character react? Is because that's how I would react. It was a very, I don't want to say clean way for me to write. I didn't have to. I didn't, well, how would this person, this character that I'm writing, react? How would I want them to re It was just how would I react? So I do, if I'm put in a stressful situation, I go into like a sort of mental triage where I go through the, I sort of take stock of the situation. Here's what's going on. Here's what I need to do immediately. If there's something going on that needs to be changed, that's the thing that you focus on. It's a very, I don't want to use the word Vulcan, but it's kind of a very Vulcan aspect, just a very structured, logical way
Right.
to ha
Formulaic or whatever. Yeah.
yeah, to handle a stressful
Yeah.
situation. Now,
Step by
obviously,
step and yeah.
yeah, finding yourself in some past situation that, and my character didn't really choose to go through an Ostium door. He just found himself there, so that's kind of stressful. So yeah, it was just. And then as I was writing the story, what did Centralia look like in the past? So I tried to describe it from like some photos that I know I've seen, and every once in a while, still the local news channels will have a, you know, stock footage from Centralia. The thing that always strikes me is that there was a gas station, and the gas in the ground in the that was in the tanks in the ground was I forget exactly how hot it was, but it was hotter than gas should probably be. So yeah, that was very. So that was one of the things that I, as a child, I do remember, was that the gas and like people, the carbon monoxide was going into people's homes through their basements. And there was in my story, I mentioned Todd, and he was the only person who ever fell through a crack in the ground as it opened up. And it was in, I want to say the winter, and he was wearing a heavy jacket, and that pretty much saved him. The jacket was ruined, but
wow.
He didn't get any significant burns. So yeah, the people from Centralia were reluctant, let's just call it that, to move. Moving on from that part of the story, I was just thinking, what main thing would my character need to see that would trigger them to know this is the day, this is when the theory of when the fire started, the something's going to happen that's going to cause it. And the theory, one of the theories is that at the local landfill, every once in a while they would do a controlled burn. And instead of putting it in an incinerator, they would just have an open fire. But they would put when they created the landfill, there was a clay barrier beneath it. And one of the theories is it was damaged or it wasn't installed properly, and that allowed the fire that they were burning in the garbage to spread down into the vein of coal, which was very close to the ground, to the surface of the ground. So that's what my character sees, is the fire department going towards the landfill to do their controlled burn. And as I got to, and I want to say I got to that part while I was on the plane, I wrote a good,
wow,
80 to 90% of my story was done on that short flight from Minneapolis to Philadelphia.
That's good. But they do say when you're doing a short story, if you can't do it all in one go, because that way it'll be a much more complete flow and idea that you're trying to get out.
I want to say the only thing I didn't finish was how the story wraps up. Mm-hmm. And so the wrap up, I was like, how do I get him out of there? And then it just struck me. I was like, well, what if he's not really there? What mm-hmm. if it's a, and I plagiarized Quantum Leap, I had to, you know, what if it's just his mind that's in the body of someone that's in Centralia? And again, I wanted to make it a little different than Ostium, mm-hmm. the mechanics. So as he's being lowered into a car, sitting in a car, he notices his reflection a la Quantum Leap mm-hmm. isn't his own reflection.
Right.
And once he sees that, that's when he starts getting pulled back into that null space, the darkness area.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that was it. That was my story. That was my Ostium, my fanfic, my door story. That's all it was supposed to be. But
so it sounds like a classic example of the bottom-up approach, starting with a small place and a character and kind of developing it from there, and not necessarily doing too much world-building outside of what's happening to that character in Centralia with this event.
Absolutely. I didn't need to do anything else in the world because I had no plans to write it. I only needed to focus on the immediate situation of the story. So definitely right. bought.
But
definitely
at the same
bought.
Time, you've also set up some interesting things that I definitely piqued my mind of, like, oh, I want to explore further with this strange blackness thing and how he's not really there and everything. It makes you want, where does that go from there and why is that happening and stuff like that.
You weren't the only one. I let a couple other... And a couple other people read it, like my good friend Matt, and I have a friend at work. Her name's Tracy. She's a real book hound. She reads a lot, and she read it and she's like, well, what happens next? And I'm like, that's it. That's my story. And my friend Matt was the same way. So, you know, well, where would he go next? And I'm not sure. I did a lot of research on post-World War II Europe. And because my father was there, he was in the constabulary forces after World War II. So I was going to write a story, just a very quick story, same as my Ostium Door story, in somewhere in France in post-World War II. But things changed, obviously. My story changed because I got from everybody, you know, well, what happens next? You know, that was the big thing.
I was thinking, because we started this with where you're putting yourself in the story and trying to find out what story you wanted to tell with it. And you thought it was going to be about Centralia, that whole, you know, what went on there and what this person was trying to do to get the people to react to it. And then along the way, as you did that, you all of a sudden opened it up further with this blackness and what was happening to that character who wasn't really there, and basically created your own separate story that you didn't even know you were going to.
Exactly. There's a story that came out that I didn't even know wanted to be told. And I know that
right.
I know that's very cliche, but and I've heard
it's also writing, yeah.
and until it happened, I didn't understand how that could happen.
Mm-hmm. And the key is to kind of go with it when you're feeling that, and try not to be afraid or try not to control it too much, and just kind of let it go and trust your intuition and what your fingers want to write.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So World War II, I still have the notes. I won't say that'll never get written. But as of right now, the character is definitely not me. I wanted to add some space so that I could feel more open to have the character do things that I wouldn't.
Exactly. Yeah, very good. Yeah.
That's when I started writing the larger parts of the story is when I started to keep a separate document just started a Bible, especially when I started dealing with timelines, you know, when things happened in relation to others. I wanted to make sure I wasn't contradicting myself, number one.
Right.
Which would be very, very amateurish, and I'm sure I would catch it if someone did it. So I want to make sure I don't do that. And I just wanted to make sure that when I decided that this character would act this way, I came up with, you know, a personality profile. I just wanted to make sure that I came up with a personality profile for the character so that as I was writing in the future, I would know, oh, this is how he reacted before. It's probably how he would react again.
So a lot of this is all done. This is before you even started writing any of the scripts, right?
As I started writing the first episode is when it struck me that I needed to get a little more structured.
Right. And need to do the top-down kind of method of getting, creating more of the world and everything. Yeah.
Yep. So I started writing, and that's when I realized I needed to just plan a little bit. And it wasn't a full-on outline. I don't think I've done outlining for any of this. I just took a lot of notes. Like if I was, like you said, during your day job, something strikes you. So I would just jot down a note and then transcribe it at night, put it into the show Bible, and then go from there. And then as I was writing the story, I would have that sitting off to the side, and I could, oh yeah, that's what I wanted to do, and you know, then write the scene.
That's what I've got. I've got a little notepad app on my phone where I just jot down stuff during the day. If it's something where I think I probably will not remember that later, so I need to do that. I even for a little while was recording little voice recordings, but I found it easier just to type little notes.
I've done that. I was driving the other day, and I've been listening to a lot of music to use in the podcast, and I got to a point and I'm like, I can't take my hands off the wheel, so I used the Google Assistant to take a note for me.
Perfect.
Just so yeah, the world building, definitely once I started writing the story, took a top down. I was like, I need to know what's going on so that I can explain it through the eyes of my character. The story is definitely first person for the most part. It was intended to be only first person, but it got to a point just a little over halfway through where I was like, this other character is a character. I can't, the main character does deal with other people to a very small degree, but they didn't need their own voice. My character can relate what's going on first person in the story just through the narrative. But then it got to a point where I was like, this is just too hard to write. And then this character says this, and then they said
that. Yeah.
So then I just like, all right, I'm just going to transition. It's a very hard transition. I like the way that I ended up doing it. So that the first character you hear with their own voice is this other character. And it's truly, really the only other character that I plan on writing right now. But yeah, once I started
in the world of the what is it called, the reset, right, in this particular season,
correct. Of course, in this top-down approach, I did come to the realization that I haven't given anyone a reason to like the character or relate to the character. So that's when I wrote the prologues that actually deal with the character before he ends up in Centralia.
Right, so some kind of grounding and stuff that can be relatable for the listeners.
And planting little seeds, hopefully.
Right.
Yeah. And they're very short, which is one of the reasons I'm going with a compressed schedule, and I'm going to release two episodes a week. I think I'm going to keep to two episodes a week even when I get to the longer episodes. As long as I can keep on schedule. Yes.
Right. That's the key.
The only thing I didn't touch on with the writing possibly was my story takes the character from Centralia, which is in the past, to a world in the future. And I went that direction because that would allow me a little more freedom in my mind. Mm-hmm. With history, I have to be accurate. It's history. People can look it up. If it's in the future, I'm making it up, and I only have to be accurate to myself.
Especially when it's like an alternate world type of thing, too. Yeah, you make it all up yourself.
Right. So in my future, society is much different. But I wanted it to be a place that the listeners would say, I don't think that's such a bad place. I think I would be okay living in that world. But the world went through a lot to get there. So that's
A lot of your social media posts you've been releasing kind of leading up to it about different events and science stories and things, but there's research then as well, or?
They were meant to be, and I didn't expect anyone to be following until after the show was out. Just like with any other show that I start, oh, that's a new show, I'm going to start listening to that. I go to their social media and I go back and I look at what they may have posted. Okay. So I'm hoping people do that with my show.
So you've got little seeds along the way that you've kind of done to lead up to it.
More
complete story that way.
And the way that I'm releasing it, I'm at least saying that what you're seeing is being related on the Twitter of 2019 from a future event or from a future place, or I don't want to call them a company or a corporation, but a future group that is sending this information back.
Right. And I know still right now you're finishing up putting it all, editing all together and everything, but have you entertained any thoughts about a second season or what you might do next?
I actually took some notes on season two, and it'll definitely be a time jump. It won't take place immediately after season one.
I don't want to have you force you to give it away detail so much, but just kind of when you're writing, looking to write it, an approach to it, is it going to be kind of like this, where you're going from a top down or bottom up, or for world building?
I don't know that I would want to create a new world. I've already got one. So I'm going to play in this world. I'm just going to expand and show some aspects of it.
I've had the rare privilege to have read all the scripts and everything, so I know where it goes. So that's what I would want to, because I want more of this interesting world.
Well, you'll see it from a very different vantage point.
That's always good. That's what Brandon Sanderson likes to do too, when he has one of his other term, what it's called. It's some of the series where he'll do a trilogy. He say, "Well, yeah, there's more books I've got to write. I'll just need to get to it." And then when he goes to write those books, it's 100, 300 years in the future, when everything's kind of, it's the same world, but everything's kind of, advanced and changed.
That's interesting. That is a little bit what I'm doing. Maybe not quite along those exact lines, but yeah, similar.
A different angle. So you got anything else you wanted to cover for manifestations?
I would describe it as a slow burn. Definitely. And I did mention that the character is no longer based on me, but at least in the first 2 to 3 major episodes, not the prologue, where the character is finding out where they are and exactly what has happened.
Yeah. I was about to talk about that, because I like that you don't do, which I think I mentioned before, about the immediate res, where you're just throwing you in the middle of everything, and the listener is just really confused and kind of lost as they try to find their footing. Because you start with the character not really knowing what's going on, and the great, and that's a thing common used in by authors too, because then the character has to find out and learn, and the reader or listener gets to learn all along with them.
Exactly. I just hope that some listeners don't find that monotonous or tedious.
No, I don't think so. That's a common style of especially in the speculative genres.
The story is something that I'm hoping I made interesting enough that I'm giving out just enough information that makes people want to learn more about what happened,
right.
and how it fits in with where he is and what's going on in the story at the present. Because it's obviously, we've said it's in the future, and he finds out what has happened in between 2019 and where he's at. So things change a lot, and he is, I'm trying not to give too much away. He wants to do the right thing, but he doesn't know exactly what that is. he knows he was in Centralia. That's not going to give too much away. Actually, I don't mind teasing or spoiling that episode. And that he wasn't himself there. And when he's in the future, we shouldn't expect anything different. As far as further world building, I just released the second teaser today, noting that I was going to be in Manhattan at FlameCon in a few weeks.
Right.
And I thought, instead of just having me sitting in front of a microphone saying that this is where I'm going to go, what if I build it into the story? So
right.
I actually give coordinates, and that's the hotel where the convention's at, in, if anybody cares to Google them.
And then this is the second trailer you released, and it's kind of like, it's almost like outside characters that aren't really going to get to meet in the main story, is it?
We don't meet them in season one.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, I was like, ooh, this is spilling the world a little more and showing something that you wouldn't necessarily expect.
At least, I still have the very last episode to finish writing.
Mm-hmm.
All the other audio is recorded. I just need to edit. So, I'm happy with where I'm at. I'm probably behind, but I'm pretty much happy where I'm at. The characters that I used there, are from a different point in time from season one.
Right. Now, do you have their story or what's going to happen with them worked out, or is that just something you wanted to do?
I have some notes. It may not be those exact characters, but the mm-hmm. situation that they're in, what they're doing, is definitely something that I'm going to touch on in the next season.
So it's a fun little titillation.
Yes. More. And I like I said, I didn't plan to do it, but whenever I think that, I just think I didn't plan to do any of it. So it just keeps...
Yeah.
Evolving and growing on its own.
But because you've already kind of world built it around of what the structure is going to be and how it is, you're able to do things like this and have it not, you know, break the world or anything like that or grow out of it. You're able to stick with what the framework you've already created.
At least I hope so, yes. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweater starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.